It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This time of year, some Weirton residents will remember growing up learning Serbian meat cooking traditions.
It was cold in January, but we were by that warm fire. You just knew you were helping for the day, and that was a lot of fun.
It's a tradition that community has held on to. A story about chicken blasts coming up in just a bit. This is West Virginia Morning. Environmental groups are raising economic and climate concerns about a proposed natural gas plant in Monongalia County. Brittany Patterson has more.
Longview Power is proposing a 1,200-megawatt natural gas power plant and 70-megawatt solar farm near its coal-fired power plant in Maidsville. The company says if constructed, the new development would add 30 power generation jobs, provide $2 million in taxes to the county annually, and produce cleaner energy than many of the state's aging coal plants. But environmental groups fear the project moves both the state and world in the wrong direction in the fight against climate change. Jim Coatson is with the West Virginia Sierra Club. Speaking at a Monday press conference, he said the gas plant isn't needed.
Solar farm is definitely a step in the right direction. The fossil fuel plant is not.
Despite being the seventh largest producer of natural gas, West Virginia has just a handful of natural gas power generators. Currently, the state gets more than 90% of its power from coal. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson in Morgantown.
For years, the Ohio Valley has been known for having some of the highest rates of fatal drug overdoses in the nation. Now a nonprofit group is trying to shift the focus toward the region's innovative solutions to the addiction crisis. Erin Payne reports on programs using collaboration to expand addiction treatment and recovery.
The Addiction Policy Forum celebrated solutions at events across the Ohio Valley to honor programs selected in their Innovations to Address Addiction reports. The group's Executive Vice President for Community Engagement, Kimberly Clamp, says the 37 programs selected look beyond the traditional methods of addressing addiction.
This is a disease that begins in adolescence and can remain with us the rest of our lives. To think that it could be magically cured in 4 weeks is a myth.
The Addiction Policy Forum is a national nonprofit organization focused on eliminating addiction as a major health problem. Clamp says the innovative programs also align with their goals of helping patients, improving treatment, and educating the public about addiction.
Using the science that we know about the brain disease of addiction, 50% of our country still doesn't believe that addiction is a brain disease.
After years of leading the nation in overdose death rates, Clamp says the Ohio Valley needs new ways to think about the addiction crisis. Those working the programs, the forum highlights, say it's time to focus on solutions that are forward-thinking, collaborative, and can be recreated in other communities in order to combat the crisis. All of the programs in the reports exemplify this model. One out of Huntington, West Virginia, applies it to nearly every aspect of the treatment and recovery process.
Down that hallway are the group rooms, and over here is the nursing station.
The building Michael Haney walks me through is an old CVS that's been transformed into a one-stop shop for those needing help with addiction. Haney is the executive director of PROACT, an outpatient treatment center that aims to guide patients from diagnosis all the way through recovery.
We have one mission, addiction work, but we focus on addiction work as the whole person.
PROACT is a collaborative effort. The main partnership links Valley Health, a health center program that serves the Ohio Valley, and Marshall Health, which operates through Marshall University. The combined resources allow people to come in right when they decide to seek help.
We wanted to set competition aside to actually do something meaningful together because there's some things Valley Health can do, Marshall Health can't. Some things Marshall Health can do, Valley Health can't.
And with the help of other local partners under the PROACT umbrella, a patient can also have housing, transportation, employment, and spiritual needs addressed. This collaborative effort allows them to see nearly 500 patients a week. PROACT also works to eliminate the stigma surrounding addiction through community and patient education.
Healthcare should always be about informed consent. And so if they're informed, they can then decide what they want to do.
Haney says being recognized by the Addiction Policy Forum as an innovative program is gratifying. He thinks their model could help people struggling with addiction in other communities.
We want to be the best, and we hope that through the example of collaboration, others become even better than us.
PROACT is just one of the 37 programs honored by the Addiction Policy Forum as innovative. but it's a great example of the sort of innovation the region needs. Kimberly Clapp says the Ohio Valley's addiction crisis needs more than one solution and communities working together.
We feel like it takes everybody to come together to solve the opioid and addiction crisis. No crisis has ever been solved by just one sector.
For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Aaron Payne.
The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Rain and snow today. Snow could be heavy at times. Accumulations of 2 to 4 inches possible. Highs in the 30s and low 40s. Chance rain or snow tonight with lows in the 20s and 30s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Jaeger Airport CRW with flights to Orlando, Florida, MCO. Beginning February 14th, more at JaegerAirport.com. The following county school systems are closed today: Boone, Clay, Fayette, Grant, Greenbrier, Hampshire, Hardy, Lincoln, Logan, McDowell, Mercer, Mineral, Mingo, Nicholas, Pendleton, Pocahontas, Raleigh, Tucker, Webster, the West Virginia Schools for Deaf and Blind, and Wyoming County, while Monroe County, Summers County, is operating on a 3-hour delay. Northern Panhandle residents of Serbian descent celebrate community and heritage with what they call a chicken blast. It's a weekly event that lasts all summer. West Virginia folklorist Emily Hilliard reports.
At 5 a.m. every Wednesday morning in the summertime, a group of a dozen or so men gather at the Serbian picnic grounds along Kings Creek outside of Weirton, West Virginia. In a long cement block building, they mill about in the dawn light, eating donuts, drinking coffee, and reading the morning paper. The men are members of the Serbian Men's Club of the Holy Resurrection Serbian Orthodox Church. They've been hosting weekly chicken blast fundraisers here since 1969. They roast 300 to 400 chickens a week and sell them to the Weirton community.
My name is John Kasanovic. I'm 73 years old. I lived in Weirton, West Virginia all my life. Right now, I'm the treasurer of the men's club. I've been the treasurer for the last 16 years. And when I come down here on Wednesdays, I tend the fire.
John sports a ball cap, jeans, and flannel over a Pittsburgh Steelers t-shirt. He piles cardboard boxes and broken down wood pallets in a long brick hearth. Then he lights it all on fire. Other men unload raw chickens from a cooler, threading them on long metal poles.
And guys get down here usually around 5:30 in the morning, cleaning the poles up, getting the chickens out and all. We cook the chickens, we wrap them, we put them in our boxes, and they stay warm for the whole day, and they'll stay juicy, and never had a complaint about them.
John is nonchalant about the process, but these chicken blasts are a lot of work. Each member knows their role, and they work together like a well-oiled machine, tending the fires, adding salt and pepper to the chickens, rotating and tending to them. 350 roasting chickens, supplied by a farm in Pennsylvania, is an impressive sight. There are 25 chickens on a pole and 3 to 4 poles stacked over each fire, burning at about 800 degrees. Chickens on the top drip fat on the chickens below, naturally basting them. Other than that, the recipe is deceptively simple, according to John Greener. He's been volunteering at the Chicken Blast for the past 5 years.
Oh, they taste terrific. I think some people say it's the best chickens that they've ever had. And we only season with salt and pepper. A lot of people think there's a secret recipe. There's no secret to it at all. It's just salt and pepper. And we make sure they're cooked.
This unique spit design, the industrial brick oven, and walk-in coolers were built just for this purpose by members of the men's club. And they all worked at Weirton Steel Mill. In fact, skills they developed as pipe fitters, bricklayers, and machinists help make this operation a reality.
We had one man, George Baltich. He was a boss with the carpenters. So he was able to, you know how to make the tables. And other guys were millwrights. They knew how to work with the motors and all that and set things up. So we had a lot of guys that were very, very useful to what we had to get accomplished there.
In the early days, the customer base was largely steel mill workers and their families.
Most guys worked in the mill. You know, I mean, they were looking for lunches after work or taking a chicken to work for their lunch. And the more the word spread around in the mill about this being available, more people took the opportunity to make themselves available for it. And after 4 o'clock, we'd come down, you know, family come down, get a chicken, you know, picnic style day.
As steel jobs declined in Weirton, the number of chickens the club is able to sell per week has declined with it. In the early 80s, the club could sell 600 to 700 chickens a week. Now they average about 350.
I started in the mill in 1966, and we had 14,000 workers in there. And when I retired in 2003, we had a little over 2,000. So we had a big drop off. So that really, you know, affected the people coming down. And people moved away.
Still, they managed to sell over 5,000 birds over the course of the summer. The weekly chicken blasts still draw a decent crowd who come to picnic on the grounds in the evening. The tradition survives not only because of the strong community among steelworkers, but also because it connects families to their Serbian heritage. Many of the men remember roasting meat in their backyards with their families growing up.
I lived next door to my grandmother and grandfather, and they used to do pigs for Christmas. And we didn't have electric spits. We had hand by the hand, and geez, we were kids. We'd go up there and turn the spit, you know, it would take hours, but we didn't care. It was cold in January, but we were by that warm fire. You just knew you were helping for the day, and that was a lot of fun. That was but over in Serbia, yeah, that's a big tradition over there with the wood.
It's that connection that keeps John Kasanovic coming down at dawn to stand over a hot fire every week in the heat of summer.
Been involved with it for 33 years, so, you know, just came down one time, like I said, and boy, this is fun. My one uncle used to come down. He wasn't even Serbian, but he loved it down there, so I'd come down with him. And, you know, and it was a lot of fun to be with him like that.
It's a tradition that John Greener would like to see continue.
But most of the folks here are in their 60s, maybe almost in their 70s, and we'd like to see some young talent get here. We've got a few guys who work here until they have to go to college. I don't know what the future is. You know, it could be in 5 years that we don't have enough volunteers. I hope not. It's a tradition we'd like to continue.
The efforts of the men's club are appreciated by the Weirton community, Serbian and otherwise.
How are you?
Chickens regularly sell out in about 2.5 hours. There is a group of regular customers with standing weekly orders, and some come down to the picnic grounds at 7 a.m. to stake out their favorite picnic table for their evening chicken dinner.
This is a way for them to get their families down here together with their children and all that, and they can interact with their families. We have one man that comes down here, buys 5 chickens every week, but he only eats one. He'll take it and he'll give one to his aunt. He'll give one to a friend. He'll give one to somebody else.
John Pate is that regular who buys 4 extra chickens each week, giving them away to family and friends.
Oh, it's great. It's camaraderie. You know, it's camaraderie. You come down, the people that worked in the mill, I'm a retired steel worker, you'd come down here on Wednesdays, you bring your family, you bring the kids in. I don't know if you notice on the other side, there's a volleyball, there's bocce, there's the kids would go in the creek, looking your young kid, crawl dads and all of that. And it was just camaraderie. You could either bring the food down here and that, and people bring side dishes, and it's a mill.
The chicken blasts run from the last weekend in May to the last weekend in August at the Serbian picnic grounds in Weirton, West Virginia. Money raised from the blasts help maintain the picnic grounds. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting and the West Virginia Folklife Program, I'm Emily Hilliard in Weirton, West Virginia.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.